Spears and Glenn Fumble back with you here on this Thanksgiving Eve 2020. Wednesday, November 25th, 16 minutes past the hour, and the phone lines are already ringing as soon as you say hello. It's this turkey thing.
It is.
Glenn, it's the turkey thing. The great turkey miss of 2020. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead. Well, the caller's left out. Well, if that was you, give us a call back, 740-383-9944. And again, remember, if the line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. So keep on calling back in. I do want to mention again, because it's a big deal, free Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow at Dayspring Wesleyan Church, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. That's all it is, though. It's all carry out. You got to go over there. You got to go over. It's right across from Menards. And they're looking for hams and pumpkin pies. If you have any questions, 740-389-3684. Go ahead, caller.
All right. A grammatical clarification on the people who have been calling in. If they're going to unthaw or de-thaw a turkey, does that mean they're going to refreeze it? Because if you're unthawing something, it's already thawed, and you're going to reverse it. And you're de-thawing
it,
same
so
thing.
Thaw means to thaw. So unthaw would mean to freeze it.
That's backing it up.
Yeah. But now...
I'm just a grammatical clarification.
Well, that's true. But so what's your opinion on the whole thing?
They're grammatically incorrect.
What's your opinion on the turkey?
No, my wife already called in and you didn't smell what she was cooking.
No, I do. But do you have the same opinion as your wife?
You've never been married. You always agree with me.
Oh, yeah, no, right. No.
Oh, he's got it. He's got it.
I've seen
some. Glenn.
Now, you and your wife don't always agree.
Oh, we don't always agree, but I certainly wouldn't say I didn't agree in public.
That's right. You're not as dumb as you look.
So you do.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Right,
unthaw would be to re-thaw.
Yeah.
Re-thaw. I guess.
To unthaw, you got to freeze.
To freeze, yeah. So there you go. Again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz.
We got to get you married so you can know what smart guys are talking about.
No. You know, I had this whole thing last week. When I was down at the Commons, I thought that the picture, one of the lights, was a ring.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, and even the person I was with thought it was a ring. And even somebody online, when I shared the picture, thought it was a ring.
Wishful thinking, right?
But what do you think it was?
What?
Did you see the picture?
No. I did, but I don't remember thinking it was a ring.
What did you think it was?
I don't know. I think I just looked at it and passed it on. Another stupid message from Scott.
No. People love my trap. I'm like Charles Carolt on the weekends.
You are the Charles.
I'm Charles Carolt.
Oh, you do have some terrific stuff on there.
On the road. Well, you know what? When I'm down in those places, because I'm going to talk about it when I come back on Monday morning,
sure.
You know, it's a visual. To say, okay, if you want to see this, go and look.
I loved it when you went up to the Rock and Roll Hall.
Oh, what fun that was.
Yeah.
That was a good time. And interviewed Mr. Shermer up there, which was that was fun, being in the XM studio. So there's been a lot of fun trips, and I'm trying to think of more. And, I think they will come. But, again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. And the whole issue this morning has been with the turkey, but maybe this is helping other people who are cooking turkeys tomorrow for Thanksgiving. You know, how long do you thaw them out? And how long can they be thawed out? And I really believe if the turkey doesn't smell, what's the problem? People go to restaurants, don't they? You don't see how things are cooked.
No.
Now, you like to think, but read the food inspections in the newspaper.
But I'll guarantee you they don't unthaw something there.
You don't think they're freezing things there?
No.
I bet they're unthawing a lot of things there. I don't get it.
Yeah, no, I think you'd be a little frightened if you did go to some restaurants and stand in the back room for a whole day.
Oh, you would.
My father went to the Chicago Stockyards when he was a fairly young man. He was and he was invited up there, and they went and took a tour of the Chicago Stock. He never ate hot dogs after that.
When I was in college, I worked in a restaurant, and it was a fairly nice restaurant, but I always thought, if you go back to the kitchen, you're living in a false paradise.
Yeah.
You know, and I had this discussion a few weeks ago about why tipping. Because why do we tip the pizza delivery man? Why do we tip the person who cuts our hair? Because they make minimum wage or better. But the waitress doesn't. So I understand why we tip the waitress.
Yeah.
But why do we tip the pizza delivery man and the haircut person and not other people? We don't tip the person at the Meijer. We don't tip the person who works in a deli who cuts your cheese. Why do we tip the haircut and the pizza man?
Tradition. Tradition.
That's all it is. Is that all it is?
I think.
We're just strictly in a traditional mode.
Hey, Chris, my barber, forget it. You're not getting any more tips.
I get one. It's also how much do you tip?
Yeah,
because
you never know that.
Now the pizza, the standard tip seems to be $5. I don't know why it seems to be $5.
Ooh, I'd never tip $5.
Really?
No.
What do you tip?
Ever. Couple.
Most people seem to tip $5.
But I'm so cheap that I rarely have delivery of pizza. I go get it.
You go get the pizza.
Yeah. Now at the barber shop, I tipped my barber. I think about $7 after my first haircut, after thinking I could go after the COVID thing started, because I knew that he hadn't been able to work for several weeks.
A haircut now costs, a normal haircut for a guy usually costs between $12 and $20.
Yeah, it does.
So, I mean, $7 would be a little much. That'd be close to 50%.
Well, I think my barber charges seniors $12, and I just gave him a $20. So
you're tipping better than 50.
Yeah, but I don't do that very often.
Now, so what's a normal tip for a barber?
I don't know. I give him $2.
Okay. Now, when you're out to eat, this is the big one. Is it 20%?
I go between 15 and 20%, and if you get 20%, you've done a really good job. If you get 15, you've done okay.
But see, working in a restaurant, here's my contention. The manager does not work on tips.
No. Nope.
The cook does not work on tips.
Nope.
Okay, now, and the cashier does not work on tips.
Right.
So all that being said, if your food is bad, why do we blame the waiter?
That's a good question. Well, because the waiter's your point of contact.
But they didn't cook it.
Yeah, but it's the only person you can get back at.
Right, but you're not. It's not going to hurt the cook.
You know, sometimes I will yell at the cook, the server. I don't yell at anybody, but sometimes I will complain to the server. Because I know I have no way of getting to the management, and that's my direct line.
Complaining, I think, is fine. But when you base your tip on your meal, that to me is a little problematic because there's a lot of things the server has no control over.
Yeah, right. And I don't think I've ever given a person a bad tip because the meal wasn't what I expected. I've complained to the server, but I don't think I've ever given them a bad tip because if they do a good job, get the food out timely and don't
spill on you. Well, even getting the food out is not there. I mean, that can be the kitchen.
It could be, yeah.
The only thing the server really has control over is taking your plates away when you're done, making sure you're having silverware, taking your order, and refilling your drinks.
Yep.
That's really all they have control over.
Well, I'm never going to tip again.
Well, isn't that interesting? Because your food, how it tastes, they have nothing to do with that. If it comes out cold, or really a lot of times, they have nothing to do with that. How quick it's coming out, they have nothing to do with that.
But you know, it does get back to those people. My daughter was at a very, I guess, an exclusive restaurant as a server in Tiffin, and she had talked to us about, you know, she knew the food was cold when she brought it out, and she knew that she wasn't going to get a very good tip, and she went back to the kitchen and told them off. And so it does get back to them, but it doesn't affect them financially.
Well, this was kind of like the hot dog story. It didn't put me off of restaurants, but it got me off of the false paradise of, you know, you go into a nice restaurant and the server you know, doesn't look kept. Well, go back and look at the kitchen. Here's
that'll scare you.
Well, I know a lot of people pick the restaurants they eat at based upon what the dining room looks like, and that has nothing. You could have the most beautiful dining room in the world, and the kitchen could look horrible.
Yeah, sure could.
So mine, and this, honest to goodness, happened. What? But years ago, and I'm not even sure this person would still be working there, but I was working as a host, is what I did, and cashier, and worked in the bakery, and that sort of sat people. And I was in high school and college. And on Saturday night, because it was a big breakfast place, on Sunday morning you would have enormous breakfast orders. And we would open at 7. And they would always make the pancake batter up the night before for Sunday morning.
Sure.
Because it was such a big morning. They didn't want to, every other morning they made it up fresh that morning, but it was such a big ordering morning because families would come in. They'd have it ready. Well, there was a door between the kitchen and the dining room, in case you ever needed to talk to them. And for some reason, it was right before we opened, like 6:50 on a Sunday morning, the phone rang and they wanted to talk to one of the cooks. It was somebody calling to talk to one of the cooks. Now, normally, I would have just sent the message back because they're busy to call such and such, but we weren't open yet. So I pulled that door open. And the cook who was working that morning had set those pancake batter things up against the door.
Oh, no.
So when I opened it, the pancake batter went into the lobby on the carpet. Okay.
Lovely.
And the cook scraped it up and put it back in the...
Yikes.
Yeah. So that particular...
Hair and all.
Well, whatever was on the carpet. Because there was no time to remake the batter.
Yeah, there were probably a little... insect legs
but to me that's the false paradise that people live in going to a restaurant.
My wife, when she was in college, she got a summer job at the Big Cape out in Massachusetts.
Cape Cod,
yes. And she was not a server, she was a hostess. She said that was the worst job she had ever had in her life because people always talked down to her. And people, you know, she was required to treat them like they were gods. And they would always talk down to her. She said
it's a tough job.
Yeah.
It's a tough job. By the way, does anybody have any opinion on this? This is a big one. What do you tip? And do you base your tip on things your server has no control over? And they don't. They make what, still like $4 or something like that an hour. It's very low.
Yeah, and now there are some restaurants that the tip is shared across the spectrum,
or they put it automatically on your bill.
Well, that too. Yeah. But I mean, they will share it with the cook. They'll share it with the server. They'll share it with the hostess.
Well,
whatever. But in those cases, they don't usually pay the server a minimum wage.
As long as everybody's making the same, that's okay. 740-383-9944. What do you tip? What do you tip the haircut person? What do you tip the pizza man? And what do you tip anybody else?
How
in
about
your
a
life?
Taxi cab driver?
They used to tip the mailman.
At Christmas, a lot of people still do.
Here comes a break. We'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned. Ted, did you know President Harding's dog, Laddie Boy, had a gold collar?
That's not so unusual.
Really?
No, he had a golden collar. I have a golden voice. Tomato, tomato.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
And we're back on this Thanksgiving Eve. Scott Spears and Glenn Coble. Don't forget to stay tuned to the rest of the day here, because we have got Progressive Life with Dr. Feynman and Glenn from 12 to 1. And then we have got Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman. I bet it'll be Thanksgiving related today from 4 to 5. And the Trinity Baptist Church from Sunday afternoon. Tonight we'll replay 6 to 7. What a better thing to listen to as you are getting the din-din ready for
that
tomorrow.
Sounds like fun, yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Hey, now, I brought up the taxi cab thing.
The taxi cab.
Let me tell you the best tip I've ever left a taxi cab driver.
Okay.
I was down in Nashville, and I was with a convention, the College Sports Information Directors of America convention, and four of us wanted to go to a restaurant. We didn't know where to go. We didn't know what we were doing there. So we hailed a cab, and we got in, and the guy was very friendly. We asked him where to go. He said, "I'll take you to the best place ever, and I'll come pick you up." And great, great. And so we take off, and the guy says, "Would you like to hear some music while we're getting there?" And we thought he was going to turn the radio on. No, he pulled a guitar over, and he's playing his guitar while he's driving and singing. Yes, and we got there alive. And I think we tipped him about $100.
Well, that's a guy working for you, but he was happy.
Yeah, well, and he did come pick us up and everything. So, yeah, we way over tipped him.
See, people are scared to tell us what they tip, because I think people under tip.
I do too.
I think people under tip, in all honesty.
I always tip 20 at a restaurant if it's decent.
Well, 20 is easy to figure out.
Yeah,
on your bill.
It used to be 10 when I was a kid.
Well, that's...
Yeah, but I'm talking about when I was younger than you are
right,
now.
Right, but food was cheaper then.
Yes,
so the tips must have been really bad.
Yeah, they weren't good.
You wouldn't want to be in that business. You know, now a server can make a decent wage. I mean, if you have four or five tables in your area and you're getting 20% on those and you're having a busy day, you can do pretty well.
I have a good friend, and I haven't seen her in a long time because of COVID, but she's a bartender, and she was asked if she would be manager, which would take her from minimum wage to a much better wage. She refused because she made so much money in tips as a bartender.
Well, a bartender, people are drunk.
She was never drunk.
Well, no, the bartender's not drunk, but the people tipping are drunk.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And if you got a pretty young bartender, and I'm not going to say whether she was a pretty young bartender or not. She would be mad at me if I said she wasn't as young as she thought. But she was a very sweet bartender. If you've got a pretty young thing, some of those old drunk guys will tip $50, $100, you know, and go home and try and, I guess, tell their wives that they lost it or something. I don't know.
But you know what? You don't meet people in bars. This is the classic error.
You don't?
No, I don't think you do. I think that's bad. Well, what can you ask?
Oh, you mean new people?
Yeah.
No.
What can you ascertain from a person in the time you're with them in a bar? Because you know people going to a bar, they dress up, they get the cologne on, they get the perfume, the girls dress up, and they go out there, and it's not really them. You know, because I was looking at a story the other day that office romances are way down this year because people aren't in the office.
Yeah.
And it's becoming a problem. People, you know, aren't having no way to get together with people. What do you do?
Yeah.
Don't go to the bar, because the bar is not reality. Now, at work, you see somebody's work ethic. You see them every day. They're not always at their best. They have to dress different every day. That's a fictitious. You're seeing a fictitious view of somebody.
I always wore blue jeans and a t-shirt. But no, when I was working and I'd go to a bar, yeah, I was in a sport coat or a suit.
Right, and it's not reality. Plus, sometimes you might be drinking and not as critical as normally you would be.
True, and I never went to a bar to pick up girls. That was just not something I ever did. And my wife didn't like going to bars, so... That's not how we met.
Well, I just
we
think
met it, in church.
Well, I just think it's interesting how people do that. They think that's good. Matter of fact, last night, it's strange. I had a friend call me who's a male. So this was a male-male conversation about this whole thing, about meeting people. Because it's fascinating to me that we all have envy of other... Like, okay, let's say you're in a relationship, and then that ends. And then... you start seeing somebody else, you get envious that of the other person because their life has gone on. That's a common thing.
Okay.
But you never think...
You mean the person you've left.
Yeah, the person
okay.
you've left.
Okay.
But you never think the reason you left, their pattern's not changing in life. They're doing the same thing with the next person.
Yeah.
There's always a honeymoon phase. So every problem that you could no longer stand still is there. It's just somebody else is dealing with it. But we all... It's like death. The other
day
I had
a good joke about that, but I can't say.
Well, there's a conversation I had about death the other day on the air here that we, it all came from a magazine article. We tend to wipe away people's blemishes, not their good points. You know, and in a relationship, if you're apart from somebody for 6 months, you forget the bad that made you leave. But you remember all the good things that you liked about them. And that's why you get jealous. Same thing when somebody dies. We've come up with a term for it. Never speak ill of the dead. Why? That's the best time to speak ill about them. They can't say anything anymore.
That's true.
But why? Think about it. Why does dying canonize a person?
That's a real good question.
Yeah. Well, the magazine article, maybe we'll talk about this. Because it was a Thanksgiving magazine article, but it was... A lot of people have died this year because of the pandemic and people just dying in general as we normally do. And a lot of people get depressed at the holidays because of the people who are no longer there, who were there last year. And the question was, if you have unresolved issues with a person who has went on to their reward, can you resolve those after they're dead? Is there any way to fix that? That was the question. I thought that was interesting.
Do you think that people don't speak ill of the dead because they're afraid, just in the back of their mind, that that person might be listening and might haunt them? I don't believe in that sort of thing, but I think people
could be
might be nervous about saying grandma was a rotten pain in the butt because grandma might be watching over you.
But you know, as years go on, though, they do say it in story form. You know, right after somebody dies, you're very, for the first year, you're usually very...
Respectful?
Well, even tentative to tell a funny story where that person might have looked bad.
It's part of your mourning.
Right. But after time, you'll tell, oh, remember when they wore that funny outfit, or remember when they, you know, got caught walking out of the store without paying for that item. You know, then you'll tell those stories when they've been gone for a while. So... But can you get closure when somebody's dead? That's the newspaper article.
I've never had I've had everybody in my family has died before me, so I'm the last. I've never understood what the heck closure means. They're gone.
Right, but if you have, let's say you had a big blow up. I know of a woman one time who was talking to her mother, and they'd had blow-ups before, but she hung the phone up on her, and she died.
Yeah.
Before they talked again.
Right.
And it wasn't a big thing, you know, because the mother didn't call her right back, and the mother didn't know she was dying. But that haunted her forever that she had done that.
Well, my mother passed away from a low hemoglobin, so... She basically bled to death, and we didn't know this. And so she started speaking gibberish. So I knew I had to take her to the hospital, so I took her to the hospital. But I remember saying, Mom, you got to quit talking like that in a
angry tone.
And I've always felt bad that I talked to her.
So you have it.
She died, yeah.
So is there any way, since she's gone, to get that off your mind? Get that feeling away.
No, and I don't mind having it on my mind. It just makes me treat other people better.
Well, see, I think there is a way. Because
okay.
I do. I really do. Because I think I don't think just because somebody's dead, you can't... even if you believe it goes nowhere, even if you believe nobody's listening, to absolve yourself of what you did, you're living. Why can't you absolve yourself of that? You know, you in life, somebody might not accept your apology. It doesn't stop you from giving it.
Well, I've absolved myself for doing that with my mother, and I absolved myself pretty quickly. I just remember it, and I wish it hadn't happened. That's all.
Well,
but
see,
it doesn't make me cry about it or worry about it.
Well, what I would do is, my advice in that, I go to where they are, if they're buried, most people are, go to where they are, go to their shade, and just tell them, whatever your issue is, say it. Because they are there. You know, I mean, whatever their physical body was is there somewhere in the vicinity. So just tell them, get it off your chest. They're not going to respond, and that's it.
Yeah, it's a little different from people like myself who are atheists and don't believe that they're there. But
well, I'm not saying that they're going to respond.
They're not physically there.
Yeah, that is where their physical remains are.
And I do like going, and my mother and father are both buried in Crown Hill Cemetery in Indianapolis, and I do like going there, and I do talk, even though I don't believe, I do talk to, you know, they're both cremated, so they're in a very small plot, not too far from John Dillinger, which I've mentioned before, so I always visit John, too.
Well, so why not apologize? Why not get that off your chest and just say, okay, I'm done with it now? You won't forget it, but it doesn't have to be sad and
I guess
all that.
That's no different than when I say I miss you to the two
right,
of them.
Right, right.
So, yeah, that's a good idea. I might do that, but except for I don't really feel guilty about doing anything with my parents. So.
A lot of people do it with friends or whatever. You know, somebody will get killed in a car accident, and it's very quick, and you don't have time to do what you need. A lot of people are guilty about not saying goodbye, never telling them, you know, how important they were.
Yeah.
Well, go tell them.
Yeah,
write them a note.
That's why you should always, you know, never go to bed without kissing your wife.
I just think that this is easy enough. And if anybody has any opinions, go ahead.
I like it.
Yeah, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Do you have an opinion on this? What do you do? Now, Adam and Dr. Feynman.
What was that?
Well, it was a segue. I was segueing.
Okay.
That they are having a tiff currently.
Oh, yeah, but I don't think either one of them are going to visit the others.
You don't think they? Well, they're not.
They're burial grounds.
Well, Adam brought it up a couple weeks ago that
he had a picture.
If he dies, sure. Well,
yeah.
Didn't he say, listen, and I don't want to misquote anybody. We got it on tape. We could go back and listen to it. But didn't Adam say that Dr. Feynman said he was going to die? Isn't that how that whole thing started?
I have no idea.
Well, I don't know. Go listen to the tape from 2 weeks ago. But it was something in that regard.
Okay.
I remember. Oh, here you are skirting the issue again.
No, I really don't
you
know
talk
what
about,
brought
you
that up.
But, no, you remember it.
I don't remember anybody saying anything about dying.
Well, yeah, because Adam said, if I die, I want to bequeath my...
Yeah,
but reason he was talking about death was because he said he and Dr. Feynman were having a... I think he said, Dr. Feynman thinks I'm going to die because I don't... I'm not cautious enough about the COVID.
Yeah. That, now I'm remembering.
Yeah. I'm not making this
up.
It's
in the front of your brain. It's way in the back of my brain.
Oh, well, the only time I think about it is when I know they're coming up.
Oh, okay.
Because
and they are. Yeah.
Yeah, they are coming up here in about 15 minutes. Well, one of them.
Yeah.
And I know the other listens.
Yeah. Yeah. I like them both.
I enjoy
both of them. I'm not. I wouldn't say I'm going to go drinking with either one of them.
Here comes the break. We'll be back.
Scott, did you know that Martha Dallas and George Casillas were taught to dance by Marian Native and Miss America Marilyn Meskey?
I had heard that.
What you didn't know was that after Marilyn taught them how to dance, that George gave her a gift.
Oh, really? What was that?
2 jugs of olive oil and a box of lemons.
George's calling card, WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopRex.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
And we're back here 46 minutes past the hour, Thanksgiving Eve 2020 here at WWGH Radio. And it's interesting, you got a message from Dr. Feynman, who's on with you next hour.
Yeah, yeah.
He just tuned in. And we just started talking. The whole rest of the show has been about Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we hadn't said anything
about it. No, not a thing.
That's kind of...
A little ironic. Yeah. We talked about tipping. We talked about turkeys. We talked about...
I bet Dr. Feynman's a good tipper.
You think?
Well, I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Well, let's get him and Adam to go out and have lunch, and they can tip together.
He lives in Florida. I bet Florida is not a good tipping state because...
Older folks.
Yeah, older folks. Uh-oh. Yeah. Now I'm getting a message.
Now you're going to get it. 740-383-9944. Do you tip well? What are you thankful for? We'd love to hear the answers. 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz.
Oh, now Dr. Feynman says when he was talking about that, all he was concerned about was Adam's health.
I don't think that's how Adam phrased it, but I may be wrong. I don't want to speak for either one of them.
Yeah, well, he says he wanted him to be safe, and that's really all that was. And he says he's a great tipper.
Oh, he's a great tipper. Well, good. Well, 20%? Is that a great tipper?
I don't know.
30%.
We'll have to ask. I'll see. Dr. Feynman, since you're listening, do you tip over 20% ever?
By the way, I'm getting a message from one of our listeners, too, Mary. She said her brother said... when he was single, best place to meet single women was the grocery store or the laundromat.
Oh.
He met his wife in a bar, so go figure.
Yeah.
He's been married 26 years.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Oh, Dr. Feynman says he tips well because he knows how tough life is for servers, and he's right.
Well, laundromat, grocery store, do you buy that? Is that where you meet the women? Or the men?
I've never met anybody in a laundry. I don't think I've ever been to a, yeah, I've been to a laundry. When I used to travel with the basketball teams and used to travel with the Army band, I went to laundries, but I never met anybody there.
I got a quick one to get into here with our 12 minutes.
You do get to see their undies.
But, jeez. That's not very educational, Glenn. Now, by the way, the third week in a row, I had breakfast here this morning. This morning, it was a blueberry muffin and a
soda. You're getting a close friend.
I'm getting a close... Well, hey, anybody can be my friend who does that. Now, what a nice deed, though. What a nice deed to go out of your way in the morning to do that before 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. At McDonald's this morning, yesterday morning. When I was in the line yesterday morning, a guy... He got to the pickup window, and he must have... Okay, I know what the issue is here, but he pulls forward. I pull up, and he starts to... He gets his lights on like he's going to back up. You cannot back up.
Be careful, yeah.
Right? No, I mean, how dumb are you? You cannot back up in a line like that.
Maybe he just was trying to go into the park?
Oh, no. He got out of his car.
Oh.
Left his car... blocking so the rest of us can't get out.
Lovely.
Walked back to the pickup window and asked for napkins.
Oh.
I felt like running him over.
Well, he probably should have gone inside to ask.
I went and blocked the... I mean, come on.
Dr. Feynman says he met his wife through a friend's aunt. Now, there are a lot of people that meet their future by friends of friends. Or friends of relatives.
Well, friends are fine, but, you know, marriage is not a popular thing right now. And I believe as the generation that's older dies, I think you're going to see, because less people are getting married, I think you're going to see the divorce rate go high, very high.
Okay.
I think it'll be much over 50%.
Well, now, I hit 50-year anniversary last year. 11 months and a few days ago. So I'm going to hit 51 years on the 21st of December. So you start thinking about the really nifty present you're going to get for me. So
I'll work on that.
Sure you will.
As we get just like I'm waiting for that Christmas gift from Michelle earlier on. But I just really believe in my mind that people get married for different reasons today. And they're not reasons of longevity.
Now, Dr. Feynman's got, and this is a doctor. He's a full-fledged doctor. He knows why. He says marriage is not popular because people are too self-centered and selfish and do not believe in compromise. That's what unfortunately our world is going to.
Oh, see, I have to disagree with that, though.
Okay, all right.
No, I don't think that's what it is. I think you can compromise with people. I think that people get married for superficial reasons. I think people get married for what's going. You know what I think? I hate to say this. I think a lot of people get married for financial reasons.
I think they get married for sex.
Wouldn't that be superficial?
Very.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was saying. I just wanted to be okay. A little more G-rated.
But financial is...
something different.
It's not superficial at all.
No, but it's also not going to last. No, it's not going to make you stay with that person. Once your financial problems are fixed, and you maybe find a different job while you're married to them, and then you're supporting yourself, and you don't have those financial aches every month, you might not find that person so great anymore.
Yeah. The nice thing about marriage, and the reason why I approve of marriage and would recommend anybody get married, like I said, I've been married over 50 years now, and I've found that, you take an oath when you get married, and I believe in oaths. Unfortunately, we've kind of lost our honor in the United States. And in other places, but you take an oath to live with that person for the rest of your life, good and bad, right? And if you don't want to do that, don't get married. There's no reason that you have to get married. If you want to do that, if you know that in 30 years, the sex ain't going to be as good as it was when you were married, or even the money will be different, then I think you should... But
I look at all the young people in my group who have been married, the people who I'm siblings and cousins and friends.
Why'd they get unmarried?
Well, I mean, I'm just thinking about it in general. There's only one friend, and my group would be the people I'm surveying right now, close people, one, and some of them are not related. Matter of fact, only one's related, really. So I'm 1, 2, 3, 4... 5 people, okay, and men and women. The man has been married and divorced twice, and he's in his early 30s. One of the girls has been married and divorced twice and is working on the third one right now.
Oh my.
One of them has been married and divorced, I think, twice. One of them has been married. She's the only one and still married for quite a while. And then one of them has never been. Oh, no, one of them married and divorced once.
Okay.
But has kids with different fathers.
Uh-huh.
So that's today.
Yeah, yeah. And I think today, I think it's a better idea not to get married if you're not going to make a commitment for the rest of your life. Just live with each other. It's not going to kill anybody. Why do you get married?
Why do you get married?
Somebody
to pull your plug?
I know that you had a very serious relationship for a while and didn't get married, and I think that was the smartest thing to do.
Oh, it absolutely was.
Yeah.
Because my advice to people on that is if you have an anxiety, any anxiety creeping in about that upcoming marriage, because I was engaged, don't do it.
Yeah.
Forget if the date is set and everything's ready to go, don't do it, because the divorce is going to cost more.
You really need to think through it. I know that when I got married to my wife, I probably didn't think through it as well as I should, but I knew that I was taking an oath for the rest of my life.
But you know what? If I got married, I probably could stay married because I would not get married for superficial reasons, and I wouldn't get married for financial reasons. And that marriage would not have been for that. It's just I think it was probably not good for me.
I really think the longer I've been married, the only reason to get married to somebody is because you like them a lot and you want to be around with them.
Well, yeah, but you think that at the time. Nobody gets married to somebody they hate.
No, I know. But no, I think you need to know that you like the person. My wife and I are opposites. Now, you always hear people stay together with, or they're always attracted to opposites. My wife and I are opposites, and that's why we like each other.
Well, I know a lot of people. This financial one, I didn't used to think that. I used to say it was about completely about superficiality. And I still think that's a big part of it. But I'm starting to believe it's more and more financial. People are in tough times now. The middle class is a dwindling area.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
And I know a lot. And a lot of people do get divorced. You know, let's say you get married to somebody and you have a couple kids and then you get divorced and you're paying child support or you're paying alimony and you don't make $1 million a year. Well, your life's probably going to be very difficult.
Those are things you should think about before you say I do.
But you don't.
I understand that because I truly believe you don't because you're immature.
And people confuse money with love. Let's say
they confuse sex with love than money.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because I'll tell you why. If you can't pay your rent, that'll put you, physical stuff doesn't put you in that kind of a dilemma. You can't pay your rent. You have no groceries in your refrigerator.
That's bad news.
And you have nobody to go to in your life to help you. Somebody whisks in and gives you, you know, $800 that they've had in savings. You put $200 of groceries in your refrigerator. You pay your rent. You've got another 30 days. Now, you might confuse that really with love. You might think that's a loving act. Look what they did for me. They saved me. They're my knight in shining armor. Well,
it's a one-time deal, though.
Well, maybe. Sometimes it's continuous.
Yeah.
Well, but it's not love. But people will confuse that for love.
Now, how many times have you seen absolutely gorgeous women, on television or in the movies, who are married to really ugly guys, but those really ugly guys are filthy rich?
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, that I do find they're confusing love with money.
Superficiality, I'll tell you what, superficiality with a poor person, if you know they're poor, I don't know that you go to the altar. I really don't. I think it's great to have that person on your arm, I guess, but how many selfies can you take? I don't know.
And it might go one way and not the other. I think women are more concerned about the money side, and men are more concerned about the sex side.
Probably, but I think the men better pay attention if they're getting into a financial mess.
You should absolutely pay attention before you ask somebody.
I mean, you can listen. Hey, looks matter, I guess. But you know what? If you're getting into a financial black hole, with this person, you better know that.
Yeah, I watch Big Bang Theory a lot, and Penny. And I never remember what her boyfriend's name
was. Leonard.
Leonard, yeah. Penny and Leonard get together. And at one point, she asks him about, do you think having giant credit card bills is not a good thing? And yes. Well, obviously, she had giant credit card bills. So,
You know what? All I'm saying is... if somebody, you believe they're beautiful and gorgeous and all those things, but you find out in the process that they are a financial mess, walk away. Run for your life. Because they didn't get that way overnight. They are that way continuous.
But I will marry you, Penny, if you ever give up.
What are you thankful for on this Thanksgiving Eve episode?
I am thankful for the opportunity to be on this radio station.
Oh, there really you go.
Am. Yeah. And I'm thankful for the wonderful family that I have.
I'm thankful that this show is over in 30 seconds. That's all you got to be. No, you know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for that even though we're in a messy time this year, that really it still does feel like a holiday. You know, it's different, but it is. People are still buying turkeys.
Yep.
We're having the same conversations.
A little farther apart.
What are you thankful for? And, you know, Charlie Brown's going to be on, and trees are going to go up, and you're going to hear the music on radio stations in a day or two, and that's fun.
Yep.
And you know what? That'll make this fourth quarter, which is a little darker weather-wise, a little happier.
But we have a vaccine on the future.
We certainly do. And for this day... I'm done, but Glenn's coming up with Dr. Feinman right after this. And don't forget Offbeat News with Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond, 4 to 5 today. And the Trinity Baptist Church, 6 to 7. Have a great Thanksgiving, and we won't be here tomorrow, by the way, but it'll be all repeats all day and some new Christmas stuff, and then but we will be back Friday. No 2 days off. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Work this anywhere up here. You have to go down to the basement where there is DC current. So I took Pauline Trichier. I took Pauline Trichier into the basement of this hotel to interview her there. And she is as slick an announcer as I ever saw. I mean it. Designer. She's probably one of the best designers. She just took to that very well. It worked for that one. Then I did some other one sometime while I was still there. It didn't work.
Madge Cooper. Madge Guthrie.
You won't be a millionaire, but it's the best job in the world.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM streaming live on www.wgh.